Please go ahead. This call is now being recorded.
Thank you very much. Okay, so we've got recordings. This is the ninth client committee meeting, and we have apologies from Lies, but the rest of the CWG client committee is here, and the large majority, the Sidley team is here with Sharon and Josh on the phone. I'll turn it over to you, Greg.
Thank you, Grace. So as you know, the draft report was circulated, published for public comment last night. The Grace will be sending a copy of a email that was sent out to members of the CWG, you know, summarizing where we are with helpful links. This will allow Sidley to see, to look at the announcement, to look at the public comment page that has been set up, and to see generally what the public comment framework looks like. In addition, it should be noted that, as you probably know, we prepared a template for public comments to come into, so to be put into for easy handling. As mentioned, there are two webinars taking place tomorrow at hours that are somewhat ungodly for the United States, but at least one of them is in the business time for the eastern half of the U.S. So, but those can be viewed afterwards. Other than participating in the live Q&A, you'll get the experience you would have had anyway. So, recognizing that there's a Sidley partner retreat going on, and still, you know, devotion to our work, viewing the webinar on top of that seems to be would be kind of cruel, but ultimately worthwhile in your copious free time. I think that there clearly is some work that we need to do, even that the public comment period is open and the draft is somewhat out of our hands at the moment. I believe there was a question raised just as we were beginning to go through this, you know, as we were kind of getting set as to how the public comment period would work. Perhaps I can ask Jonathan and staff to give an overview of how they expect it to work in this instance, and to some extent, you know, giving a generic overview since obviously Sidley has not sat in this inside the process before.
Greg, it's Jonathan. Were you asking about how the public comment process might work?
Yes.
Yeah. Grace, go ahead first, and then I'll come in after you.
Thanks. So I'll just give you from an ICANN public comment perspective how things work from our side. So we publish a document for public comment. The standard period is 40 days, but in the case of some comments like this one, there's a special request to reduce that time, and that request has been endorsed, and so we have, in our case, a 28-day public comment period. And during that time, anyone can review the document that was released, published, and submit their feedback to the public comment forum. The forum is an email. Essentially, it's an email address that you submit your feedback to, and then it gets posted publicly just like a mailing list archive would. It has a little bit of a different organization, but it's the same concept. And then, so the comments are posted publicly. What we usually do from a staff support side is we compile the comments as they come in and then put them into, you know, do some sort of a preliminary compilation, sometimes an analysis. It depends on the group and the, you know, willingness for the group to let staff do some of that work. And then we submit that to the group, and then the group is going goes through and sort of considers the comments and considers what to adjust in the draft and things like that. In the case of the first public comment, we had a whole intensive weekend meeting, 2 days of meetings to go over the comments, and actually for the most part the analysis was done by a few of the members who had volunteered to produce the analysis on the comments, and so that was the case for the first public comment. I'll let Jonathan come in with his plan for the second.
Thanks, Grace. I mean, I think that covers it. I mean, I'm trying to sort of think about an agenda and put the draft report, and part of the draft report is clearly this public comment and structure and how we'll take it. And you made the point that there's a, in this instance, one of the key things, the key differentiators is this the fact that we've created a form and are going to strongly encourage submissions to the public comment to be organized around that submitting in that form, and that's all related to the kind of time pressures that we need to work under, and so we ideally want structured input so that we can process it in a structured way, and we'll have to do some, and we have a high intensity session, as you said, to deal with it afterwards. So let's, if there are any questions or issues on that, I think that's, I mean, I sort of felt this call was an opportunity for us to take stock and just make sure we shared our thoughts with you where we were and took any questions or comments or sort of loose ends from Sidley. And I've suggested two of them in points 3 and 4 that Grace has just put up there as to areas we might touch on, that is looking at Annex L and the PTI board. If there's anything else from Sidley that you feel are loose ends or you'd like to make sure we know and understand about the work at this stage, fire away. I suppose it's also important to note that for this first week of the public comment, we're taking a bit of a breather now. So the next meeting of the CWG is on the 30th, but it is slightly unusually, but our plan to continue to work during the period of public comment, and to the extent that comments come in, I think we'll probably be looking at those dynamically, although generally, like many of these things, they tend to be back-ended, so it may well be that the majority of comments come in towards the back end of the public comment.
This is Ed McNicholas from Sidley. I put a question in the chat, but what was the order of magnitude of comments last time? Are we expecting dozens of comments or hundreds of comments or a handful of comments?
Well, this is Greg. I think it's dozens, several dozens. This was one of the more heavily commented public comment periods that I've seen, though there have been others that have been heavily commented. So I think we had something like 70 or 80 comments. But maybe staff has a better recollection or can count the comments in the archive. If the archive page can be found, the last time I went looking, all of the archive, public comment archives seem to have been lost by the website. And some of them were quite extensive, and part of the problem that we had was that they were all kind of free-form narrative. So in terms of trying to align comments about similar parts of the or similar issues required a lot of cutting and pasting and activity, and one of staff, Barry Cobb, I think nearly went mad trying to make a coherent public comment tool or kind of summarized organization of the comments. So the template that we're using this time, asking people to at least put things in buckets that conform to sections and subsections, should allow for a better flow through to the public comment tool, as was the intent. Clearly, in terms of our timeline, it's important for us to get a handle on those public comments quickly. Given human nature and the shorter time period than the 40 days, which has now become de rigueur, I would expect that the vast majority of the comments will come in on day 28. And some of the early comments will come from the fringe. I see Grace has found the archive for the December public comments, so you can see what happened there. Anything, Jonathan, I see your hand is up.
Yeah, Greg, I suppose it's worth noting that the groups typically would take a structured process to this. They may well try and do some work on their own. I know the registry stakeholder group have been encouraged to look at the to attend the webinars, which are taking place tomorrow. And Grace has put up the explain slide deck from the webinars that will be used for the webinars, and that's includes an explain explain schematic that's derived from the Sidley schematic. It's worth noting, for Sidley's point view, that it's been simplified, in particular to try and focus in on what has been generated by this group. Your Sidley diagram involved the GNSO and the CCNSO. There were two issues with that. One is that it's not 100% settled quite how the relationship will work with the GNSO and the CCNSO, but more importantly, the diagram to the right indicates what is new and what is uniquely added by this group. And so we felt it was necessary to try and simplify the elements represented so it didn't look as though we were creating something significantly more complex. Holly, it looks like I said something which you perhaps missed or wanted to you said I'd mentioned something. Is this something that I need to go back to that you'd like to know about or understand?
Hi, Jonathan. Sorry about that. I think I've got it now. So we're good.
No worries. So I will just go out on a limb here and say I'm not 100% sure how we are going to work with you over these next 3 or 4 weeks. We intend to continue our work. There's certainly some loose ends, and I think it would be, you know, we need to further develop that proposal, notwithstanding what comes through on the public comment. I haven't really had a breathing space to think through this, and we as a client committee and we as a group haven't really talked about where and how we need your help. So to some extent, you may be able to help us in how we need your help. I think this is a unique situation for us, and both, well, in every sense of the word for us. So it's something where, but certainly from my point of view, two things that we could touch on, Greg, in this call would be Annex L and the PTI board. But, you know, again, there may not be a lot to be said about them at this point.
Thanks, Jonathan. I think it makes sense to touch on those. Since I think they were the couple of the more unsettled areas that we had left open to us as the draft comment went out the door, the draft report went out the door. So I don't know if we can put something up on the screen that relates to Annex L, I think that the PTI board. Holly, please go ahead.
Hi, I wanted to, you know, say, of course, we're here to help you in any way we can. It would be helpful for us to have an understanding of what you see as what you need to accomplish in the next several weeks. I do think that there are probably some areas that, you know, we could go back and, you know, create a punch list for ourselves where we think we need to do some more digging. We've been really doing a lot of this on a very fast pace. So it will be interesting to hear your thoughts on what could be accomplished in the next several weeks.
Well, I think on a high level, it may be, you know, I think instructive actually to have you kind of reflect see if you can step back a bit as counsel from the process. We've kind of all been in kind of a wild mixmaster together, especially over the last, you know, few days or 10 days or so. So it may be useful just generally step back and see where we have issues that you see, where you see perhaps that there are legal, there's legal advice that perhaps has gotten lost or needs to be emphasized or kind of comes out of this. That's kind of as a, just a general thought assignment, so to speak. You know, if there's nothing to be thought of, then you know, that's fine as well. One specific thing that I kind of put down, and I'm skipping my own agenda edition, but we did put together an FAQ the last time around. We may want some specific contributions to that. Jonathan, I see your hand is up.
I'll defer to Holly for a question. I'll come in after Holly, Greg.
Thanks, Holly.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Could you say it again?
I'm not sure if that was an old hand or a new hand. I had mentioned the idea.
Oh no, I do. Yeah, I have a hand up. We can certainly help you with FAQs. I do think it would be good to have a moment for counsel to go back and sort of, you know, look at the document again, think about places where we think we may have some concerns or weaknesses, think about whether that also highlights areas that may need fleshing out more in FAQs. I want to circle with Josh and with Sharon to really have a moment to sit back and reflect. So I almost think of it as a punch list project, you know, walking around the house, the construction's been done. You know, where do we think we need some shoring up, and where are some gaps that maybe in the thick of things we didn't have a chance to look at as thoroughly or discuss with you as thoroughly as we would have liked.
Yeah, I think that punch list point is very well taken. We did say that we had taken the previous punch list as far as it could go, and that some point we'd come up with a new punch list. Maybe now is the time, you know, to review kind of this is a frozen document in a sense, to take advantage of the fact that it's not in constant motion, to look at it and see. There's almost nothing that goes out that's ever perfect, and this is certainly going to be no exception. So both conceptually and in detail, I'm sure we have quite a bit, and a chance for quiet contemplation, perhaps on airplane flights, would be, I think, valuable. Jonathan?
Yeah, I'm strongly in favor of that. I think it's far from perfect. The document's got lots of loose, you know, rough edges and loose ends. So I think I'd very much welcome Sidley's view and a form of structured punch list, perhaps by section of the document. If there's another way of doing it, that frankly, that's fine as well. But I think we need to structure our conversations with you. I think you've clearly been invaluable both for the expertise you bring as such, but also for the objectivity you bring to even areas of the work that are our own. And my sense is we've managed to walk that delicate line between what is strictly, in a strict sense, our own work to do, and a willingness to listen to your objective perspective on this. So I think to that extent, we could really do with your help in looking over it, and looking for clearly primarily issues of a legal nature where you think there are holes. And we've touched on all of these before, and one of them is clearly, as covered in Annex L, there'll be areas of, you know, the structure in and around the post-transition entity and the affiliate, in and around the separation mechanisms, in and around the integration with and dependency on the work of the CCWG. So I think a guide for how we polish up all of those rough edges would be very, very helpful. And, you know, we have now effectively the breathing space of a week, which, given the pace we have been working at, is quite a substantial period of time. So it would be great to have your help on that, and we'll sort of mutually reflect and try and build up our own punches, and then probably come back together and compare notes. I guess the question for you is whether it is a question for you and us is whether it's sufficient for us to have the client committee meeting exactly 7 days from now, and or whether you'd like to have a representative on our first meeting when we pick things up next week as well, which is at 3 or 4 hours before the client meeting. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, Jonathan. Martin, why don't you go ahead, but let's keep Jonathan's questions in mind.
Okay, this is Maarten. Well, I have one question. I think it will be for Jonathan. Is the document we prepared now, is that the level of detail, is that also the level of detail that is enough to send it to the ICG? So my question is, Are there specific things in there where there is more detailed legal stuff necessary? And it's another question we may be able to answer now, but something we have to consider.
Thanks, Martin. I accept it is something we may need to consider a little further, but the short answer is I think broadly the detail is sufficient. It's in terms of its substance. It's more in terms of the detail within that. Have we been sufficiently precise? And, of course, once we recognize that we have been sufficiently precise or not, we may need to flesh that out more. So you're right. It is something to think about. But my broad sense is that for the purposes of the proposal, it is generally sufficiently detailed enough. But that doesn't mean we don't have work to do on polishing up the detail, and there may be some missing detail as well. Thanks.
Thank you, Jonathan and Martin. Holly?
Yes. So, look, I think that we probably want to stay connected in this interim period, and so, you know, if there are calls, that it would help us to understand how things are progressing. We would be happy to be on those calls. We find it sometimes easier to just sort of keep our ear to the ground with you folks, even if there isn't something that we specifically need to do at the moment, so that we're not having to, you know, get educated again quickly. So it's a long way of saying that we would like to be invited to the calls that you were speaking of.
Thank you, Holly. I think that's helpful. And do you think that the client committee meeting a week from today is a good time, like giving us enough time for reflection?
I think it makes sense to try to keep that committee, that meeting, yes.
I would tend to agree. I think that... if there's anyone who thinks otherwise.
So, Greg and Holly, just to respond to that, Greg and Holly, I mean, I think what Holly was suggesting, Greg, in case it was missed, was that one or more members of the Sidley team would attend our CWG meeting at 1100 UTC in addition to us holding the client committee meeting.
Yes, absolutely. So yes. We should note that and make sure they're invited to that. Receive the necessary invitation, which will look a lot like previous invitations. So I think that covers that point for the moment. A couple of other, you know, with regard to Annex L directly, which is on page 72 of the document, and you do have scroll control, I think perhaps this is one, rather than to have a significant discussion about it now, but rather to flag, I think, for a particular review in the interim period. Jonathan? Or is Holly, is that a new hand? Before I get to Jonathan? Jonathan?
Yeah, Greg, I think your sentiment is exactly right. I think we've covered the principle that we want to reflect and review, and I think by just simply mentioning that Annex L is probably the, one of the areas with the loosest loose ends or the roughest edges, it's sufficient to have mentioned that now. I'm not sure we need to go into any more detail. You are right. And I think just to shortcut things, I think the PTI board is the same. It's invoked a lot of discussion. My sense, and I don't want to preempt things, but my sense is that we seem to have a broadish acceptance of a minimalist board. It's just a question of whether that quite how minimal that board is, and that's going to need some discussion. But critically, in order to have that discussion, we, and this is a CWG job, need to know if there is a function that board has to perform. And I think my intention of putting it on the agenda was just to make sure that Sidley were aware this was an ongoing live issue. It's not an explosive or a problematic issue. Frankly, I think we've had a pretty wholesome discussion on it, but it is a live issue. And I'm probably less worried at the moment than I am. Worried is not the right word, but I think it's less hard work perhaps to resolve, although that maybe I may regret saying that, than Annex L. But both those are two examples of areas where we can definitely flag that we'll need to do more work with or without Sidley's help. Thanks.
Thank you, Jonathan. I have a point, but I will hold and I'll call on Sharon.
Thanks, Greg. So on the PTI board, it would be helpful for us to understand what the best way is to provide input on that. It of course, there is a more of a CWG question of the desire of, you know, small board, larger board, minimal function, broader function. That's really a client decision. But in terms of the input you need from us, we wanted to just understand what the best way to provide that is, whether it's to just answer questions on a call or whether you want something in writing. So what do you think is most useful to you on that?
I'll give my view first, which was actually what I was holding on. So I'm glad you asked the question. I think in this case, something in writing, a short memo, would be helpful. That first lays out kind of what the, if you will, both the statutory and best practice minimum is for a board in terms of size and role, and also in terms of independence in the situation where it is controlled by a single member. So effectively, you know, a de facto subsidiary or close to it, and give an indication kind of the range of what could happen. And I think that will help because there's been some assertions made about what the board should be from a not just from a cultural practical standpoint, but what the margins are that we're dealing with. So I think it'll be helpful for Sidley to kind of put up the walls and the ceiling around our around what we're doing. The CWG needs to make certain choices, and I think that I would welcome, you know, some advice about those choices as well as we look at how multi-stakeholder we want it to be, how active, what, you know, things we want it to do other than the minimum that's its fiduciary duty to take on, and you know, what the you know, some thoughts on that. I wouldn't want it to be a, I know you could probably go on at great length about that, but I think it needs to just really be a table setting document so that we don't spend time figuring out what the general things are, or worse yet, misinventing the rules around, or the parameters in which we're working. And there's, you know, always been some level of misinvention going on, and even as recently as today about this object, this issue. So that would be helpful. And I think it will kind of help guide the discussion that we have about it. Jonathan?
Greg, I think I agree with you. And I thought we asked for that before, and maybe we've already got it. Because it's really, it's a question of what is the minimum required from a statutory and point of view? And then second, what are our options? I thought we had already covered that. That's not to counter the point that misconceptions may exist, but if we haven't, capturing that in crisp one page or you know, short form format would be useful. It's this, you know, minimum, maybe some examples, and where we where and the options and what the consequence of those options are. But I still think it's up to us to decide what function we expect that to perform. But you're right, that may help frame things as and when we then go to composition post-function.
Thank you, Jonathan. Colin, Holly.
I'm going to defer to Sharon because I'm sure that she's about to address the point I was going to address, which is about the work we've done to date on those issues.
Thanks, Holly. So the only comment I was going to make is that we did address in the original memo, we did address the minimum duties of a board. So we did include some discussion of that. But we can certainly do something, you know, more in-depth if that's, it seems like that's a source of questions. We can do something that's more, a little more detailed. But we did provide, in terms of just the black letter law, what are the minimum duties of a board, that was provided in prior work from us. And so we can say more, or we can just direct people to that discussion.
Sharon, was that with the subsidiary concept in mind, or was we thinking about the ICANN board when we were when that was written?
That was with Greg. That was with the subsidiary in mind. So that was with the that was in our long form memo, I think, of April 4th, where we went into more detail on how you could constitute the board in terms of whether fully independent or fully ICANN or a hybrid, and then we talked about whether it's a nonprofit or whether it's an LLC, what the duties would look like for each of those. But if it's helpful to put that all together in a document where it's all in one place, we could certainly do that.
And I think a document excerpting that and reflecting, you know, noting its origin in the prior work would be helpful, just to act as a specific conversation starter or conversation definer for that. So, you know, if I'm not remembering everything that's come across the transom, then I'm sure others aren't to either. So I think that would be helpful and kind of focus us and ask that people kind of read that before they come back to the discussion of PTI and start asserting things that just aren't on, so to speak. So I think that covers the PTI board issue. Is there anything further on that anyone would like to bring up?
The other thing I would say, Greg, is on that is that the other question, in terms of the various emails that you forwarded to us, there were just a handful of questions that came out of that. One was about the board and what the minimum duties are. The other question that came up was the cost issue. And so if we could just put that all in one place, we can. It's really all about creating a new entity and a subsidiary, both the board and just the administrative cost of that. So we can. I don't think we can really tell you how much it's going to cost. I think Chuck's comment in the chat that ICANN's finance should really advise on that. But we can tell you what the general requirements are, and certainly we still stand by the advice we give, which we think it's minimal to maintain a subsidiary. Obviously, large corporations, some have 150 or more subsidiaries, so it is not a big expense to maintain a subsidiary, but we can outline some of the requirements of that.
Certainly, and I think that would be helpful. I think part of it is just to demystify that, you know, for those of us who've been involved, either as a client or as a lawyer in the glories of corporate housekeeping, they'll know that your advice was correct, but for those for whom this is a black box, and for those who would like to try to cast the maximum amount of shade on subjects or on goals that they disagree with, it's helpful to put things out in the open in, you know, not in absurdly lengthy fashion, but at least to unpack the concept of this is what happens. And I put together a rather quick and probably very kludgy paragraph full of brackets don't need to use that at all, but I think that's kind of the level of what people need to understand we're talking about here. We're not talking about something that's elaborate or requires, committees all year round to be working on things. This is really ministerial stuff, and just a little bit more clarity. And if there are any other questions that, you think are worth answering at the same time that came up around the issue of forming and managing and governing PTI per se, might as well kind of put them in the same place, because I think that will, I think even more than Annex L is kind of an open spot, which people can start imagining all sorts of things to fill it. Would rather not have that imagination go completely wild. So I think that covers that, and thank you, Sharon, for remembering the question on cost. And I think that actually segues nicely into the next point on the agenda, which is open deliverables, or open deliverables question mark, whether there is anything else that we have asked you to do that you have not completed. Sharon?
So, Greg, we had that question about our legal memo, the four-page memo on the structure, and whether you'd like us to bring that current. And I saw, Greg, your comment that you thought it would be a good idea to bring it current. So if the committee agrees, we will go ahead and do that work.
I certainly agree. Jonathan, Martin, I just think that having a fairly well-written but slightly obsolete document is just going to do us no good, and we might as well use this time to make sure that it kind of matches up with the draft report. Jonathan?
Hey, Greg, this is Josh. Sorry, I'm on mobile, so I can't.
Sure. Josh, why don't I let you go first, and then I'll go to Jonathan?
Yeah. So the only comment I was going to have was, is it a useful exercise to bring that current based on what went out in the proposal, or should the analysis be deferred, perhaps, and the analysis current based on what comes back and how the model evolves based on the public comments?
I think it should keep pace with our current work, so that rather than kind of missing out on an iteration that matches up with the current proposal, we should have a stage or version that matches the current proposal, and then we can work from that to the next level and from that to the next level, so that it kind of reflects the rest points, or the breaks between movements, if this were a symphony, not to compare our work to Beethoven, but I think we do want to kind of have it match up. I just think it would be helpful now, and it may be helpful, as a reference document as we go forward in the next couple of weeks. Jonathan?
Greg, I'm sympathetic to Josh's sentiment here, and I think we need to be careful. I think we need to not do work for its own sake. I think we have a document out there. We've agreed on a period of reflection. So my temptation would be, let's just think about this for a week. We've agreed on a punch list. It may be that that the right approach is, and we've agreed on that we need some help to frame, even if it's recapturing existing information, to frame the discussion around the PTI board. I would say let's just wait a few days as we think about this and then decide what we really need. And so it may be, you may be correct. I'm not necessarily going against that, but I think we should just hold off for a little, make sure we become as clear as possible on where we need help, and then agree that at next week's client committee meeting. And we're not in a desperate rush. Now that we've got this little bit of breathing space. So I think our initial inclination was to reflect it, and that's what I would suggest we do. So that's my sort of counter-proposal, if you like.
Thanks, Jonathan. I guess part of this depends, in my mind, on how much work we're actually talking about. You know, my thinking was that that document was already fairly close to current and that it wouldn't take more than an hour or two total to make it current. But if this is a day-long project or a 10-hour project, then I would not want that to be done. That's, I think, too much work to be done for less than concrete needs. So I guess, you know, part of it is a question. I know sometimes when I drop projects and I have my last draft isn't quite up to where we were in the project, and then the project gets picked up again, I kick myself that I didn't, you know, take that last hour or two to just kind of bring things to where they all were at the same time. So maybe I'm just kind of reflecting on that in my own experience. So really, I guess it's a question of order of magnitude too. If it's a de minimis thing to do, then it may be worth doing. If it is will involve some kind of serious reflection and the like, and you know, looking at the documents in a way that you wouldn't do it, then I think I would hold off. So I guess part of it, I maybe give you some leeway to see if this is just a de minimis thing and something that might be a natural thing to do as you reflect, or not. So I guess in a sense, I don't want to make this a make work project to create this interim draft. So kind of to some extent, leave it to council to decide how to do it. And I see, you know, Sharon saying it's probably a couple of hours. So my inclination would be for you to do it if you wish, if you think it will be helpful, and if it becomes a distraction, to put it aside. I see some typing going on. Sharon?
Greg, I think it's worth doing. I don't think it'll take much time. I personally would like to have it current just for the reasons you mentioned. And if it feels like it's going to take more time than that, I think we can revisit the decision.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Certainly, if it's something that starts to take on a life of its own, then it needs to be quietly shelved. So let's take that approach. I think that kind of combines the suggestions that were made. And John, I see support from Martin that it be done as well. And so I think that takes care of that. Jonathan has no objection, so I think we have come up with a plan subject to it becoming an outsized project for that just to be done. Going briefly back to the agenda, mindful, we're now in the last 9 minutes of the call. I brought up FAQ, but don't know whether we're in fact planning to do an FAQ. I think to some extent the webinar last time generated some of the cues to which we supplied A's, as well as, you know, I think we had some effort to self-generate some cues. I don't know if that's a plan to do this time. I see Jonathan is leaving. I don't know. If you know, Grace, I see your hand is up, Grace. Perfect. Thank you.
Hey, Greg. So I think we will, you know, we did that sort of last time with the questions and answers out of the webinar. We kind of played by ear and captured it. I think we'll do the same thing this time. We'll capture the questions that come out of the webinar. And then whether or not, you know, I'm sure we'll have to answer them, but whether or not we need Sidley's input on every single question is something we can determine based on the kind of questions that are asked. You never know
right. With
these if it's going to be about process, if it's going to be about timeline, or if it's going to be very specific about some of the structures and things like that, in which case we would need more help from Sidley. So I think probably play it by ear is my suggestion at this point.
I think that sounds good. So we at least the issue is teed up, and if it becomes real, it won't be a surprise. Last thing I have on the agenda is bylaw amendments. I think I recall perhaps some, and I, again, might have been in the CCWG, keeping a kind of tally of where bylaw amendments would be needed to accomplish what we're trying to accomplish, and kind of having that all in one place would be helpful. perhaps as the quiet review of the frozen document. As that for public comment goes on, you know, some note could be made of where it appears that a bylaw amendment will be needed to accomplish what we want to accomplish. Sharon?
Thanks, Greg. Yeah, what we can do is add that to the punch list. I think we have the raw material for it. I think in part it's in our legal structure, the short legal structure memo, but we can put that in the punch list just because it is an act. Ultimately, it's an action item to implement.
Absolutely, and I think that it may be that as this takes shape, going to the board and to the ICG, that we put in some more implementation details. And that would be one I think that would be key. That along with the contract with PTI, and there is some stuff clearly in the report already about what would be in that contract. But I think as a kind of deep something kind of deep over the horizon to think about, not to start necessarily on now. Is what would be going into that contract with PTI, and which elements of the report, funnel into that document, which doesn't exist. But I wouldn't actively work on that yet. So just kind of put a pin in that one. Anything else? I'll say that this is now the all other business part of the call. Does anybody else have any other business? It appears that we have no other business and or that we are falling over. I will note that the quarterly stakeholder call for ICANN, which is the ICANN's version perhaps of a quarterly shareholder call, is taking place in 5 minutes. I think you have the information if you want to, go in live. I think this is another thing that can be viewed out of sync as well, time shifted, as the Betamax case would put it. So come back to it later. This has not been something ICANN has done since the dawn of time. It's a relatively recent result. I believe it was a FADI innovation, and it's certainly useful. But obviously, you guys have many other demands, and this is just one to put in the hopper. Other than that, I think we've established kind of what our calendar is for next week. We will have the client committee call same time next week. There will be the scheduled meeting of the IANA committee coming at for what me will be 7 a.m., me, Holly, those of us on the East Coast, those on the West Coast, 4 a.m., apologies. So with that, I will allow you to go back to your other work and perhaps begin storing up sleep in anticipation that some of you might actually on the West Coast participate in the 4 a.m. call. I thank you all for your incredible work up to date in this group, and that has been spectacular. It's been a true pleasure to work on this so far. With the entire Sidley team, and I know I speak for Jonathan, Martin, Lisa, and really the whole CWG, even at the times when it's been a little bit fractious. It's the multi-stakeholder model has been described as slow and messy. I think you've seen some of that. This would be considered breakneck speed within the multi-stakeholder process, and you certainly have kept up with all of the mishigas, to use a term of art, that goes into working within the ICANN world. So thank you very, very much. And with that, unless there's anything further, I will bring this call to a close.
Thank you, Greg, for the kind kind words. We really appreciate it. We've enjoyed working with you and are continuing to work with you and hope to continue to enjoy it. But it's been a real learning experience, and I have to say one of the more fascinating projects I've worked on in the last period of time that I can recall.
Thank you, Holly, and thank you, Sharon, for your note in the chat. I'm glad that it's been your pleasure, and I'm glad that your idea of pleasure is as bizarre as ours. Thank you all, and have a great
okay.
day.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Or if you feel you could